We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and Steve, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge. Episode 1, The Notorious Dr. Belasco.
Don't you think my dancing's improved, Steve?
I just don't know how you do it, darling.
Now, what does that mean exactly?
Well, it could mean that this is a waltz and you've been foxtrotting for the last 5 minutes.
A waltz?
Yes.
By Timothy, and I thought it was a one-step.
Come along, Fred Astaire. Let's go back to the table.
Of course, you can't expect me to compete with Charlie.
What time is it?
It's about 11:15.
I think perhaps we'd better be making a move, darling.
Yes, all right. My bill, please.
Well, have you enjoyed my birthday?
Enormously. Don't keep looking at it, Steve. You'll wear it out.
I can't help but look at it. It's the nicest ring I've ever seen. You are a darling.
Oddly enough, I hadn't the slightest intention of buying you a diamond ring. I simply walked into the shop on the off chance.
How very nice to see you again after all this time.
Good evening.
You don't remember me, do you?
I'm afraid I don't.
It is Paul Temple.
Yes?
We met at a party, sir. Lord Cheswick's party. Belfast, 1937.
Oh.
You don't remember?
I remember the party, of course, but...
Well, this is the most embarrassing... Please, please forgive me,
Perhaps the name might help.
My name is Nelson. David Nelson.
Oh. David Nelson?
Yes. No.
No, I'm afraid not. I'm most awfully sorry.
Well, I suppose it's only to be expected. It's a long time ago. I'm sorry to have disturbed you, but... You see, the waiter told me that it was your birthday, and I came across to present my compliments.
Well, that's awfully nice of you, but actually it's my wife's birthday. I'm just, celebrating.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, but please. Please do sit down.
May I?
This is my wife, Mr...
Nelson.
Mr. Nelson.
How do you do?
I'm afraid I feel rather like a gatecrasher, Mrs. Temple. But I remembered your husband the moment I saw him.
Ah, here's the waiter. What would you like to drink, Mr. Nelson?
Oh, that's very nice of you. May I have a whiskey and soda?
Certainly. Bring a whiskey and soda, waiter.
Will you have a cigarette?
Oh, thank you.
Will you have one, sir?
No, thank you. You know, it's rather curious that I don't remember you. I usually have a pretty good memory for faces and that sort of thing.
You remember the party?
Yes, I remember the party quite well, now you come to mention it.
You spent most of your time on the balcony.
Yes. Yes, you're quite right, I did. Who introduced us?
An Australian called Charles Pico. He was with the New York Times. A stout, rather aggressive little man.
Yes.
You remember him?
Yes. Yes, I remember Pico.
But you still don't remember me?
I'm afraid not.
Well, I appear to have made quite an impression.
Hello. What's this? A tango?
Yes.
Is this the first time you've been here, Mrs. Temple?
Yes, I think it is. Isn't it, Paul?
Yes.
It's quite a joint, isn't it?
Quite a joint.
I wonder why they call it the Villa Rica.
I just wouldn't know.
Mr. Nelson told us about the dog with the cold nose was one of the funniest stories I've heard.
Yes, he told it awfully well, too.
I was surprised you didn't remember him, darling.
Yes, I was rather surprised myself. Have you got your key?
Yes. Well, that's funny. There's a light on in the hall.
It must be Charlie.
But he ought to have been in bed hours ago.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, Mrs. Temple. Oh, it's all right, sir. I'll take the coat.
Do you know what time it is, Charlie?
Yes, it's about 11:45.
Well, why aren't you in bed? I told you that we shouldn't be back until about midnight, but that there was no need for you to wait up.
Yeah, but Sir Graham's here, ma'am. He popped in about 10:30.
Sir Graham?
Sir Graham Forbes?
Yes, sir. He's in the lounge with another gent. Well, they insisted on waiting, sir, so I made some coffee. Was that okay? Was that all right, sir?
Yes, that was all right, Charlie.
Were you expecting Sir Graham?
No, of course not, darling. Come along. Let's see what it's all about.
I agree that the situation is difficult, sir. But if you feel that my judgment cannot be trusted, then surely...
My dear Kaufman, so far as this business is concerned, I trust you implicitly. You know that. But nevertheless, I do feel that as a precautionary measure, we should...
Hello, Sir Graham.
Ah, so here you are at last.
How are you, Sir Graham?
Hello, Steve. How nice to see you again. But, I say, what have you two been up to?
Well, if you must know, we've been celebrating.
So I gathered.
Steve's birthday. She's 45.
45?
Paul, you beast!
Oh, well, may I present Philip Kaufman, Mr. and Mrs. Temple?
How do you do, Mr. Kaufman? And for your information, I am not 45.
I'm delighted to meet you, Mrs. Temple. And you too, sir.
Thank you.
I've heard a great deal about you both.
From Sir Graham?
But of course.
Then don't believe a word of it.
Charlie tells me that you've been here since 10:30.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry we've kept you waiting.
That's all right. It was my fault. I ought to have phoned you.
Well, I dare say you could do with a drink. What would you like, Mr. Kaufman?
Nothing just at the moment, Mr. Temple.
No? Well, what about you, Sir Graham?
No, I don't think I will, Temple. Thanks all the same.
Steve?
Not for me, darling. But could I borrow your lighter for a moment?
Yes.
Allow me, Mrs. Temple.
Oh, thank you.
Temple, I brought Kaufman along to see you this evening because I felt that in view of what I've got to say to you, you might quite possibly...
Don't you think it might be a good idea if we came straight to the point, Sir Graham?
That's always a good idea, Mr. Kaufman.
What's on your mind, Sir Graham?
Have you ever heard of a man called Dr. Belasco?
You mean the notorious Dr. Belasco?
Yes.
Of course I have. Why do you ask?
Kaufman?
What do you know about Dr. Belasco, Mr. Temple?
Only what I've read in the newspapers.
The English newspapers?
No, I once read an article about him in the New York Times.
And what did it say exactly?
I'm afraid it was rather sensational. It described him as the evil genius behind an international organization of black marketeers.
You consider that statement an exaggeration?
Don't you?
I'm afraid not, Mr. Temple.
Why are you both so interested in Dr. Belasco?
3 months ago, Steve, on January the 2nd, to be precise, we received information from the Danish authorities that Dr. Belasco had arrived in this country. On January the 10th, a man called Bruno French died under rather mysterious circumstances. To be frank with you, he was murdered.
I see.
Bruno was one of the Soho boys. We'd had our eye on him for some time, but we'd never actually been able to pin anything on him. From the moment that Bruno was murdered, however, we knew that the information we'd received from Denmark was right. We knew that Belasco was over here, and that he'd already started to form the nucleus of a new organization.
Go on.
That organization is growing, Temple. It's growing so rapidly that unless we can put our finger on the notorious Dr. Belasco, there's going to be a new crime wave in this country. A crime wave quite without precedent.
That's no exaggeration, Mr. Temple.
Why are you smiling, Steve?
It's the Gregory affair all over again.
No, that's where you're wrong. You see, Dr. Belasco doesn't create crime, Mrs. Temple. He organizes crime. Organizes the existing crime, as it were. There's a subtle difference.
Take the protection racket. There's nothing new about the protection racket. It's as old as the hills.
Good old Chicago.
Exactly. But Belasco is organizing it in this country. Belasco is putting the whole thing on a new, solid, business-like footing. Let me give you an example. There's a grocer's shop in Soho, quite a flourishing little grocer's. It's owned by a woman called Mrs. Broadman. And Mrs. Broadman used to pay Bruno French 17 shillings a week protection money. But she doesn't pay it any longer. Instead, she pays 25 shillings a week to an organization controlled by Dr. Belasco.
Talk to the authorities in Copenhagen about Dr. Belasco, Mr. Temple. Talk to them in Oslo, in Stockholm, in Prague. Ask to see the Belasco dossier. There are precisely 279 closely typed pages dealing with the activities of the notorious Dr. Belasco.
You appear to be quite an authority on the gentleman, Mr. Kaufman.
Kaufman is an authority on Belasco, Temple. Actually, that's why he's over here.
You're from Paris, I take it?
No, I'm from Copenhagen. I'm attached to what is known as the Danish Central Bureau. It's the equivalent of your special branch.
But you're not Danish, Mr. Kaufman.
No, I'm a Frenchman, Mrs. Temple. I was born in Alsace.
Tell me, what exactly does he look like, this Dr. Belasco?
I've never seen him. And to be truthful, I've never met anyone who has. In 1945, he was described by the Paris Soir as being a short, clean-shaven, rather badly dressed little man. 2 months later, the Stockholm Tagblad described him as a tall, elegant figure sporting an imperial beard and a disarming air of self-confidence.
He works alone, I take it?
Nearly always, but there is sometimes another man with him, a sort of second lieutenant. A man by the name of Ross Morgan. Morgan's a Canadian. He's a tall, stoutish, rather well-dressed man. Have you the photographs, Sir Graham?
Yes.
Thank you. Is this man Morgan over here with Belasco?
No, not at the moment, Temple.
Not at the moment?
Are you expecting him?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, Mrs. Temple, that's why we're here.
What do you mean?
Morgan arrives tomorrow afternoon. Kaufman's had secret information through from the continent that Morgan intends to contact Belasco.
Where is he landing, do you know?
Yes. He arrives at Harwich.
What are you going to do? Tail him back to town?
We mustn't go near Harwich, either of us. Morgan's smart. If he's got the slightest suspicion that he's being tailed, he'll never lead us to Belasco. Whoever follows Morgan back to town must be completely disarming. Morgan must never suspect that he's being followed.
Go on.
I have suggested that you and Mrs. Temple go down to Harwich tomorrow morning and wait for the boat. The moment it arrives, be on the lookout for Morgan. Watch him like an eagle watching a hawk.
I see. You want us to be completely above suspicion, just a nice conventional couple returning from the continent.
Exactly.
What do you say, Temple?
Well, there's only one thing I can say, Sir Graham. Let's all have a drink. Hello, darling.
Have you seen him?
Yes. He'll be coming through the barrier in a moment.
What's he like?
More or less what I expected. Is the train late?
No, I don't think so. Did you get any cigarettes?
Yes. Have you got your lighter, Steve?
Oh, yes. It's in my bag. Here you are.
Thanks. When he comes onto the platform, Steve, I wanted to turn your back on him just as if you hadn't the slightest... This isn't your lighter.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Look.
No. No, it isn't. That's funny. It was in my handbag.
It must be Mr. Kaufman's. Don't you remember he handed it to you last night?
Yes. I say, that's a bit rich. I must have used it and then dropped it into my bag.
It's got his initials on it. Oh, no, it hasn't. It's some sort of engraving.
It's an acorn.
Yes.
It's rather pretty.
You better put it back in your handbag. Here's Morgan. Now, don't take any notice of him, Steve.
All right.
London train! London train! First
I beg your pardon.
Yes?
Do you think I might borrow your newspaper for a few moments?
Why, yes, certainly. Darling, do you mind? You're sitting on the paper.
Yeah?
I'm sorry to disturb you.
That's quite all right.
I don't know what you folks think, but it seems to me to be mighty cold on this side of the channel.
My feet are frozen.
I'm afraid there isn't any heat on in this compartment.
Did you enjoy the crossing?
I don't think I exactly enjoyed it.
I should say not. What time is this train due in, do you know?
Well, if we're on time, we should be...
What is it?
Oh, my God, the train's going to stop! Steve! Steve! Steve, down!
I'm all right. Just a bit shaken.
Now, take it easy. Take it easy. We've got to get out of here.
The coach is over on its side. Goodness, we're... Paul, there's another train. We must have smashed into another train.
Now, don't panic, darling. It's all right. Give me your hand. Come on. Come on, give me your hand. That's it. Now, you'll have to get through here. Can you manage it? Take it gently. Take it gently.
Look, Paul. There's someone underneath that.
Yes, I know. It's Morgan. I'll attend to him in a minute. I want to get you out of here first. Now, look. Stand on my knee. That's it. Get hold of that girder. Get hold of the girder, Steve. That's the idea. That's it.
Take that stretcher down to the last coach. There's some help up here.
Give me a rope. We've got to have a rope.
Steve, dear.
Are you all right now, Steve?
Yes. What about Morgan?
He's dead.
Oh, poor man.
There was nothing I could do. He was trapped. I tried to get him out, but it was no use, darling.
Did you speak to him?
Yes. Yes, I told him who I was. I felt I had to. He said he had an appointment with a man in Soho who runs a cafe, a man called Henry Worth.
Is Henry Worth Dr. Belasco?
I don't know. I don't know, Steve.
Paul, what is it? You're worried about something. What is it, darling?
I searched his pockets. I found this cigarette lighter on him.
Well?
It's exactly the same as the one you found in your handbag. Let's sit down, Steve. There's a table over here.
Are you sure this is the right place?
Yes, I think so.
I'm not very impressed, darling.
Neither am I. But I bet a fiver our friend Mr. Worth is a pretty good business.
Did you tell Sir Graham that we were coming here?
As a matter of fact, it was his idea.
Oh, I see.
What would you like? A cup of tea, sandwich or something?
Paul.
Yes?
Are we going to get mixed up in this Belasco affair?
Are we?
What do you mean?
It's up to you.
I don't want to. I don't want any part of it, darling. Paul.
Well?
That girl over there, the waitress, the one serving coffee. Haven't I seen her before somewhere?
Yes. Yes, by Timothy, you have. That's Mary Hamilton.
Mary Hamilton?
You remember Mary Hamilton, the inquiry agent, specializes in divorce cases.
Yes, of course. But what's she doing here? What's she doing here working as a waitress?
Look out, here she is.
What can I get you?
Can we have any sandwiches?
Yes, but there'll have to be cheese. The pressed beef's off.
All right. Some sandwiches and some coffee.
Okay.
Oh, and is Mr. Worth about?
I expect so. Usually is.
Well, I'd like a word with him.
All right. What name shall I say?
Just say, I'd like a word with him.
He's a bit fussy, you know, Mr. Worth. He doesn't talk to every Tom, Dick and Harry.
I'm a bit particular myself.
All right. I'll tell him.
Thank you, Mary.
If you feel you must be familiar, the name is Ivy. Ivy Brown.
Not one of the Berkshire Browns.
I'll tell Mr. Worth.
Did she recognise you?
What do you think?
I think she did.
She recognised me, all right.
I wonder what she's doing here.
Well, she's obviously not here for the good of her health. I know Mary Hamilton. She's a smart girl.
Who is this? Is it Worth?
Yes, I should imagine it is. I saw her speak to him.
He's much younger than I expected.
Yes.
You wanted to see me?
Mr. Worth?
Yes?
My name is Morgan. Ross Morgan.
Red?
Doesn't that name convey anything to you?
No. Is there any particular reason why it should?
I was told to get in touch with you by Dr. Belasco.
Dr. Belasco?
Yes.
I think there must be some mistake. I've never heard of your friend, Dr. Belasco.
Isn't that rather strange?
What do you mean?
My instructions were to contact you immediately on arrival. I was told that you would take me direct to Dr. Belasco.
I find that interesting. Perhaps, however, you would be so kind as to explain something to me. How can I take you direct to someone I've not even heard of? Incidentally, your name is not Ross Morgan. It's Paul Temple. I recognize you the moment you came into the cafe.
Did you? Did you, by Jove?
You see, I have a remarkably good memory for faces, Mr. Temple. Good night.
Good night.
That, I believe, is what is technically known as getting the bird.
The bird? I got a shrewd suspicion he handed me the flock.
He was telling the truth, Paul.
Who? Worth?
Yes. I've been thinking about that girl, Mary Hamilton. We mustn't jump to conclusions, darling. We mustn't think that just because she's working at the cafe, she's necessarily mixed up in the Belasco affair.
Well, if she's not, what's she doing there?
It is possible, I suppose, that she might be investigating a perfectly ordinary routine divorce case.
Yes, she might be. On the other hand, she might not.
It's the cigarette lighters that puzzle me. The one you showed me, the one you found on Ross Morgan, it's identically the same as the one in my handbag.
Yes.
Do you think that the engraving, the acorn, I mean, do you think it's a sort of, well, symbol?
I suppose it must be. But if it's a symbol, then what exactly is it a symbol of?
I don't know.
It's cold, don't I?
Yes. I'm frozen.
There's a rug on the back seat, Steve.
Right.
Of course, you know, it's my opinion that if this so-called Dr. Belasco is really... Steve, what is it?
Darling, pull up. Pull up. There's someone on the floor. At the back of the car.
On the floor?
Yes. Yes, I felt them with my hand when I... Paul, stop the car. Stop the car, darling.
Switch the light on. That's it. Good Lord.
It's Mary Hamilton.
Yes. And she's dead.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, Mrs. T.
Any messages, Charlie?
No, sir. But there's a gentleman here, sir. He called about 5 minutes ago. A Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes, ma'am.
What on earth does he want, I wonder?
Where is he, Charlie?
In the lounge, sir.
Right.
Ah, so here you are.
Hello, Mr. Nelson. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm sorry to trouble you, Mr. Temple, especially at this time of night, but...
Well, I think your wife has got my cigarette lighter.
Your cigarette lighter?
Yes. I offered Mrs. Temple a cigarette last night at the Villa Rica, and I believe I put my lighter down on the table. One of the waiters said that he thought he saw Mrs. Temple put it into her handbag.
Oh, yes, as a matter of fact, I believe she did. My wife's terribly absent-minded these days, I'm afraid. If you'll just wait... Oh, here you are, Steve.
Hello, Mr. Nelson.
Good evening, Mrs. Temple.
Darling, have you got that cigarette lighter? The one we thought belonged to Mr. Kaufman?
Why, yes. Here it is.
Is this your lighter, Mr. Nelson?
Yes, that's the one, all right. You must have picked it up off the table, Mrs. Temple, without thinking.
Yes, of course I did. I remember now. How stupid of me. Then it's your lighter, Mr. Nelson.
Yes, I'm rather afraid it is.
It's got rather a curious design on it. We find it rather intriguing.
You mean the acorn? Yes. Yes, I've often wondered if it had any particular significance.
Where did you buy the lighter, Mr. Nelson?
As it happens, I didn't buy it. It belonged to my wife. But why are you so curious about the lighter? I know it's a rather unusual one, but...
It's not
surely...
quite so unusual as you'd imagine.
No.
No. Take a look at this.
Why, it's just the same. It's got the same design on it. Exactly.
Yes. Exactly.
You have been listening to the first episode of Paul Temple and Steve, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Jimmy Chisholm, Eliza Langland, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Brainerd.